This is Chad Greenway, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Smith, shotgun, takes the snap, looks right, passes right, intercepted! It's picked off by the Vikings and Chad Greenway. Near side up the 20, 25, 30, Chad Greenway. A 31-yard return by the veteran Chad Greenway. Matt Ryan takes the snap from the backup center, steps away, he's sacked! What a brilliant sack! What a wonderful sack by Anthony Barr!
Second and 11, three receivers right, one to the left, Cutler out of the shotgun, first pass of the game, screen left to Matt Forte, bam! He's nailed by Audie Cole! Audie Cole traps Matt Forte for a tackle for a loss of two. It's the first TFL for number 57 this year, and he's filling in for Chad Greenway quite admirably. And Geno Smith goes play action, and his first pass is picked off by Gerald Hodges. 15-10, touchdown! Gerald Hodges, first National Football League touchdown on the first play of today's game. He takes the snap, goes on a five-step drop. Here's pressure up the middle, and he's sacked by Chad Greenway. What a fantastic start to the third quarter. The Redskins go three and out. Running back to pass, zips it right, and it's caught by the man who caught the touchdown. It was Safarian Jenkins who fumbled it, and it's picked up by Anthony Barr for a game-winning touchdown! And Anthony Barr scores the game-winning touchdown, and the Vikings will walk off winners.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, coming to you from Winter Park. We are back with another position breakdown episode of the Wobcast. We kicked off this series last week, talking quarterbacks with voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. We move on this week, and we're going to do linebackers. And to do that, we bring in a guy who is an authority on linebackers, an authority on Vikings linebackers, because he was both. He was a longtime NFL linebacker for a few different teams, but we mostly remember him as a Vikings linebacker. He is Ben Lieber. Hello, Mr. Lieber.
What's happening, man?
Not much. Thanks for coming in to talk linebackers with us.
Yeah, no problem. You know, Wob, anything for you.
Wow.
When you call, I pick up and I said, whatever you want to do, man.
And that's what you did.
That's what I did.
I remember when the news came down of the new two-point conversion / PAT rule happened. We talked about that a little bit. Yeah. I said I needed some help breaking down linebackers and maybe another offensive position. You were right there on the other end of the line for me, so I appreciate it.
Well, that was a certain case where I just jumped on the elliptical. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, I hated myself for getting on there, and I also hated myself for not getting on there.
Right.
So I was about 5 minutes in, and you called. I'm like, oh, look.
A nice break.
I need to take this break. So I took the break.
It was a work call. It was work.
It was work. So yeah, I had to jump off, and I'm like, yeah, I need to take this call. You know, I reset my heart rate and went back.
Good. All right. Well, I'm happy to help that way. Speaking of work, let's get to work and let's talk linebackers. We heard coming into this episode of the Wobcast, the highlights, the many highlights that there were last year from this position for the Vikings, namely Anthony Barr, who made a bunch of them. Our buddy Chad Greenway, who you played with and you're friends with, he had some highlights in there as well, and some other guys. So, you know, I think linebacker was a position that needed to improve for the Vikings last year and still does need to improve for the Vikings this year, but it did improve. I think you did see that group take some strides forward, particularly with Anthony Barr joining the mix. I think a lot of moving parts at linebacker. I think that's the nature of the linebacker position anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Some position versatility, moving parts, doing a lot of different things. You're right at the heart of the defense. And really, Mike Zimmer's defenses are all about being versatile and multiple and moving parts and different guys doing different things. And no one's really pigeonholed into being one certain type of guy. You have to kind of be able to do a lot of different things. So I think that's the theme of the Vikings linebacker position. You look at what they did last year. They bring back Jasper Brinkley. They add in Anthony Barr. They keep Chad Greenway. They have to move in Gerald Hodges once Chad goes down with an injury.
Yep.
You factor in Audie Cole a little bit. He saw some playing time, especially at the end of the season when Barr got hurt. So just a lot of moving parts at that position for the Vikings last year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Anthony Barr really made he really made the group as a whole better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want that out of any player, but I think everybody who came into the season, this is a big question mark. How are these guys and who are these guys going to be? We knew Chad was pretty much was going to be there, but nobody knew anything about Anthony Barr when we drafted him. Everybody thought he was getting drafted out of position. Right. Everybody thought he was a 3-4 outside linebacker. And so there's a lot of question marks. And because of his play, I think he brought the batting average of the whole group up. And that's a good thing. And, you know, Jasper was solid, not great. But you talk about moving parts, and I think Mike Zimmer really wants the outside linebackers to be versatile. And that is the theme for him. I still believe that he wants a true middle linebacker, and he has yet to find it. And I think that's what he's really hoping for is that, you know, maybe Kendricks can be this guy this year, be that guy this year, and then maybe he can transition to an outside position because he's a little more athletic. But I still think he's looking for that kind of that downhill thumper, that yeah. true middle linebacker that can bring a presence. And that's going to be the interesting thing about training camp is who's that going to be? You know, who's going to be that guy that we don't look for him to play all three downs, just be a first and second down, just kind of intimidating, run-stopping guy that can bring some attitude, you know, possibly call a defense, and let the other two guys kind of mill around and be the versatile guys that can, you know, show up in the A gaps, you know, mm-hmm. come off the edge a little bit, drop in coverage, and do all the things that you're asked to do as a flexible linebacker.
Well, let's take a look back at last season a little bit. And before we get into the versatile guys and the moving parts and all that, let's go to the stalwart, Chad Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
He missed 4 games in the middle of the season. Which ended his consecutive games/started streak, which he had a monster one that was going. Unfortunately, that ended it. But he came back and played well. He had a bunch of double-digit tackle games after he came back from his injury. And he actually ended up with 115 tackles, which was second on the team. So yeah. You really have to give Chad a lot of credit for that. Missing 4 games, still having 115 tackles, and being second on the team is incredible. You know, I thought maybe his best game was against Washington and RG3. He had a sack, he had 11 tackles, but he was also solid in his first game back against Buffalo, where he had a forced fumble, I believe, and double-digit tackles. So when you look at Chad's season last year, and then you project what Chad can do this year, where do you think he is?
You know, even though he's a year older and he's got, you know, those 115 tackles stacked up on his body, mm-hmm. and he's coming back from injury, I really think that this is going to be Chad's one of his more productive years in the last few. And I say that because, you know, what doesn't get talked about a lot, and it's no secret, but, you know, his issue with his dad and his dad's cancer, mm-hmm. And the way that Chad was there for his dad and his family in a way that I've never seen, the dedication, the commitment to that, along with being a father and a husband at home and also being a football player in the building and on Sundays, you know, that sort of weight off his shoulders and that emotional weight off his shoulders, I think it's going to be what allows him to play a little bit more free this fall. The injuries are all things that have healed. Not anything that I think is going to linger, and he's going to have another year in the system where he's even that much more comfortable understanding what Mike Zimmer wants, understanding how the moving parts fit into the defense, you know, play in and play out. So I really look for Chad to have a big year. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, he's been told that it's going to be an open competition for that third down spot. Mm-hmm. And Mike Zimmer told him that. And so I think he's going to rise up to the competition and hopefully he wins it. But I really think that, you know, he's not going to have a dip in production because of age. I think he's actually going to play better than he did last year because of those things that he doesn't have to worry about now. He doesn't have to go down to Rochester, down to the Mayo Clinic on off days and even on Friday nights and coming back Saturday mornings and, yep. and doing and just running himself ragged. I think he can really focus in on football. And hopefully this is one of his better seasons he's had in a while.
Yeah, I think the Vikings, obviously, they believe that too. They agree with you because they brought him back. And there was a point in time where that was a question mark. Is Chad going to be back or not? The good news came that he was going to come back to the team. And right after that happened, we had him in the studio to talk to him about it. And here's what he had to say.
The 2015 season is shaping up to be an exciting one. The Vikings have been busy in free agency. The draft is coming up, but part of the reason we're excited is because Chad Greenway is going to be part of that 2015 team. We got a young room of linebackers, but you're going to be the veteran leader for those guys. Are you excited to be back?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, my number one goal really has been able to finish my career at Minnesota Viking and remain loyal to the place that's been loyal to me. So it's been an honor and definitely want to go out on top being a Minnesota Viking and win a lot of football games this year. But we do have a young crew, a young linebacking crew with a lot of talent, and they need some direction, and I'm definitely there to help them with that.
The one that everyone pays attention to, the young linebacker in the room with you, is Anthony Barr. What have you thought of Anthony?
Yeah, I couldn't really be more impressed with Anthony. And I mean, everybody sees his play on the field and everybody's impressed by it, and as am I. But I think really him, you know, in our facility, the way he carries himself, the way he handles himself with the media, his teammates, he's a very selfless guy, a guy that, you know, that cares about his teammates and wants to be a good teammate. But he learns quickly. He's a smart guy. He's really got it all. I mean, and his career is going to be very good.
You were a first-round pick back in 2006, and you're still here. It's the 2015 season. How have you done it? What's been the key?
Just obviously wanting to continue to get better every year. Consistency and health really is the biggest thing. So they put you through, you know, the combine is, everybody sees the numbers, the 40 times and all that stuff, but it's really to see where a guy is at medically. And that plays into a big role of how long you're going to be able to make it maybe in this league. And then it comes down to a lot of luck too. I mean, you really do have to have luck. I mean, you get put in a lot of positions that can hurt you. Knees, ankles, wrists, arms, but you know, for that thing just to kind of go the wrong way can really affect you one way or the other. It can happen in training camp, off season, during the season, but it's one of those things that's really going to affect the longevity of your career.
The Vikings defense, if a team or someone studies our defense, you've been in it now for a year with Mike Zimmer, you're going to be in it for your second year. What are the traits of this Vikings defense?
Well, I think being unpredictable is a big thing. You know, being able to kind of come at teams different ways and use the use what the offense has given us as clues to kind of let our attack win. And that's you know, we obviously do that every time, but you saw the improvements, marked improvements, really in total team defense, really all across the board. And that's really led by, you know, head coach Mike Zimmer and George Edwards and all those guys that are so good at really breaking down tape and helping us. But you know, there's always something to learn. Even a guy like myself going to my 10th season, you learn something new every day, and that's what's fun about this defense.
10 seasons. Can you believe 10 seasons?
Yeah, you know, it goes so fast, and it's been so much fun to be able to be in one spot, and I think for me, and just get to know everybody that's within the organization and really have it become more than just a stopping point for my career, but really be something to be a part of for life, and that's something I always wanted.
You like how the team's shaping up for 2015?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but be excited. Obviously, with the steps I think everybody saw Teddy make, you hope he doesn't obviously have the sophomore slump everybody talks about. But, you know, be a guy that can come in now having some experience and some savvy to him and be a leader, a true leader like a quarterback needs to be for a team to be successful. And aside from Teddy, I think just the team-wise, we're obviously shaping up to have a pretty good squad.
There you go. You hear from Chad Greenway. Ben, you were already a Viking when Chad was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So you were teammates right away. Then you became friends very quickly. I would imagine you still are close friends to this day. So you've seen Chad every step of the way for him. My first season as an intern was 05. As a full-time employee was 06. So I've seen him every step of the way too. It's amazing the development and the growth of Chad and
right.
You know how it's just kind of come full circle, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I do remember, you know, soon after he was drafted, we actually went out to lunch together and, you know, we both made it a point, you know, that we needed to sit down as two South Dakota guys that are going to mm-hmm. be playing in the same room together on this, you know, the same team in the NFL. We're like, we have to make this connection and see if it can work. And, you know, it was so easy when we sat down just to like share similar stories and kind of similar a thought process about where we were as kind of high school kids into college and then on to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to kind of talk about those things openly with somebody that actually had been through the same sort of thing. But yeah, I've seen so much from him. You know, he came into the league with, you know, me as the supposed leader, one of the leaders in the linebacker room. EJ Henderson was also there. And there was also just leaders already built into the defense. So, you know, it was a great way to transition to the NFL is to not be like Teddy Bridgewater, where like, hey, you're a rookie, and guess what? We're putting the whole weight of the team on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
He got to kind of grow into it and kind of take a step back and just say, I'm going to be just a football player. I don't have to be this big vocal leader voice in the locker room and, you know, tell these guys to, you know, follow me and lead by example sort of guy. So he got to start like that and was very successful. I mean, we all saw his production right when he stepped on the field. Is like, this guy's a freak athletically. Yeah. You know, he can do anything. And so it was fun to kind of watch this, you know, this jokester, prankster, super athlete go out there and perform. And then slowly but surely, year after year, he gained that confidence that most young guys gain after being productive, being around in the one system for a while. He was much more assured of himself. And then you could see him grow as a leader. And then it was, I can still be fun jokester guy, but now they're going to ask me to, you know, step up on the leadership part of it and, mm-hmm. you know, be a little bit of a more vocal guy, you know, kind of say the right things in front of the team, get out there in the community and do the right things. So it's really been fun to watch how he's, you know, slowly but surely, you know, step by step, are making these strides where he goes from, you know, playful tackling machine into like, you know, super leader on and off the field that continues to bring it and continues to work hard and show these guys that, you know, to survive in this league, you have to make it a year-round commitment. And he does that. And he learned that, you know, he didn't have to learn that. He just did that on his own when he got right. here. He was, you know, he was working out in January and February when most guys were taking time off.
Yeah. Well, we have you, a member of the Vikings radio network, a member of our preseason broadcasts, a co-host of Vikings Connected, so very much intertwined in what we do on a day-to-day basis. We have Chad, who's still playing, and EJ is upstairs as the youth football manager. So, I mean, the band is back together, and it's kind of a cool thing to have all of you in the building still.
Yeah, the band is somewhat back together, even though we all kind of have, like, different roles. And we're all kind of operating in different areas. But, it's so fun to see all of us, you know, we're getting older now. I mean, we're all, like, you know, we're all dads now. We've got kids, and, you know, life goes on in different directions, and it's great that EJ can apply his passion that he has for the youth, not just for YoPro with his own nutrition and exercise initiative, but also kind of bring that sort of passion here with the Vikings. So it's fun to, you know, as I'm walking down and down here in the bowels of the of Winter Park, I would pass his nameplate on an office. Right. You know, it's like EJ Henderson has a, you know, he's got an office, right? Here, you know, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's segue then to the opposite of that. Let's go to a youngster, a young player still wet behind the ears, Anthony Barr. Now, you heard Chad say he couldn't be more impressed. You and I both know Chad does not throw out hyperbole left and right. I mean, he only says what he means. So for Chad to say that, that's a significant statement. He couldn't be more impressed with Anthony Barr. What say you?
Well, you know, he sees him on a day-to-day basis where we don't get to see everything. But from the way his demeanor and the way he appears in front of the camera and what you watch on the field, you know, it's hard not to agree with Chad because he has this sort of quiet, calm confidence that he exudes. And it's not that he's this quiet guy. I think he just has this kind of bravado about his presence that I don't think when he got drafted that, like, the spot in the moment wasn't too big for him. He was like, he kind of expected it. I think a lot has to do with his upbringing, having NFL in his bloodlines, that he understood what everything was. He understood what the next step was going to be. And I think that's oftentimes a stumbling block for a lot of the young guys is they're not really sure what the next step is going to be. You know, and I'm talking like, what's the next practice going to be like? What's it going to be like after I get drafted? Mm-hmm. All those things were he kind of learned and knew about beforehand. So he was able to come in and not worry about those distractions. And you can see his, you know, freakish athletic ability on the field. And to have the mental capacity to take everything that he learned in college, somehow build that relationship to what the calls are in the NFL and Mike Zimmer's defense. And, you know, when Chad got hurt, you know, Anthony was the green dot linebacker making all the calls, which is, if you're going to be the green dot linebacker, you have to be sure of not only what you're doing, you got to make sure you know what the defensive line is doing, what the guys behind you are doing, and call out the checks and adjustments with that, which, you know, to me, just that told me when he was green dotted, this kid has it together, because you just don't give out those things lightly. He had to earn that. And with Mike Zimmer, I think we all know he's a no-nonsense guy. So he's not just going to give it to some guy just because it's going to look good. you got to trust him, and you can trust Anthony Barr.
Well, I'm going to ask you, what makes him, beyond the trust factor, that coach can trust him, what makes him so good in Mike Zimmer's D? Why is he such a good fit in Mike Zimmer's defense? And, you know, looking back to last season, he played in the first 12 games, missed the last four because of an injury, 99 tackles, four sacks, three fumble recoveries, two forced fumbles, sacked Drew Brees, sacked Matt Ryan, had that strip of the tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins in overtime in Tampa Bay to win the game. I mean, a lot of impact plays, but why is he such a good fit for Mike Zimmer?
Well, I think he brings, first of all, I think he brings an attitude.
Mm-hmm. So what you talked about earlier, where he has kind of that swagger,
he has
confidence,
that he has that bravado. Swagger, and he has that bravado, and he carries it on the field with his pads on, and he's a big man even without his pads on. So he's a big intimidating force on the football field. And I think first and foremost, there are a lot of plays, and I know you know this, there are a lot of plays that are not going to show up in the stat books that you're like, wow, he was a difference maker on that play.
Yeah,
and it only takes a couple weeks for the opponents to watch film, and you're like, this Anthony Barr kid is somebody we have to watch. We now have to pay attention to him. We have to call all of our line blocking assignments,
right,
you know, to or away from him and slide things. You know, you're always aware where he's at. And that's what he brings to this defense, is now you're taking offensive linemen and now they can't concentrate on what Harrison Smith is doing. You know, because every quarterback always looks from the defense top down. They got to see what the safeties are doing. And if they're more concerned about Anthony Barr moving around, like, oh, is he a will linebacker? Is he an outside rusher? Is he going to be in the A-gap? You're paying attention to the second-level defense. Now the back-end guys can kind of mess around and disguise things so much better.
Interesting.
Because now the linemen are looking like, okay, where's Chad at and where's Anthony at? So I think that's what he brings. He brings this presence and this flexibility that we talk about, that he can rush from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run right at him, if you want to take a fullback and just run a straight lead at him, guess what? That guy's going to get blown up. Because many times we've seen Anthony Barr blow up a blocker. And if he doesn't make the tackle, it's a pretty easy tackle for the guy scraping over the top or the safety coming down. So He's a fun guy to watch because he's so physical and he brings such a presence.
Yeah, well, the Vikings benefited from inserting a new linebacker from UCLA last season in Anthony Barr, and they look to do the same this season with their second-round pick. They draft Eric Kendricks, who was a linebacker for UCLA as well. Before we talk about him, you're going to hear some stuff from NFL Network, some press conference sound, and then what Anthony Barr has to say about Eric Kendricks.
With the 45th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Eric Kendricks, linebacker, UCLA.
The door is over his legs. That's Kendricks that nailed it.
Eric Kendricks, linebacker, 2014 Butkus and Lott Impact Award winner.
Wow!
Had a little bit of a run on linebackers now, DJ.
And I think we can say with certainty now, the Minnesota Vikings, they like linebackers from UCLA.
Yeah.
They hit it big with Anthony Barr. Now they go back and get his teammate in Eric Kendricks. And you see right here the notes on him. The tape is outstanding because the instincts are outstanding. He has the ability to be able to sort through the trash, get to the quarterback as a blitzer. He can cover. He is a three-down linebacker. He's going to fit nicely with his old college teammate, Anthony Barr.
Let's start in the second round. Eric Kendricks, a linebacker for us, a former Anthony Barr teammate. He comes to the Vikings.
Yeah, very excited about him, and kind of we're surprised that he fell to us there. He is a tremendous athlete for his size, very instinctive. We felt that he was the most instinctive linebacker in the draft. Tackling machine, can play from sideline to sideline. Feel he has the athletic skill set to be a three-down type linebacker, very athletic in coverage. And, you know, he can play multiple positions. He can play the will or the weak side backer for us. He can also play Mike. Had a lot of activity on people trying to come up to our pick when he fell there, and we felt he was just too good not to take at that point.
Looks like a good football character guy.
Yeah, and he fits the mold in what we're looking for. Tough, passionate, very smart, and a leader. And you have to have all those traits to play that position.
When Kendricks fell to us, we had a lot of activity on teams trying to trade up. We felt that he was the most instinctive linebacker in this draft. As we talk through with our coaches, we feel he can play Will or Mike. He's very good in coverage. He's very instinctive against the run. He's not overly big as far as size, but he's still over 6 foot and about 235 pounds, ran well, and plays very heavy-handed to shed and get off blocks and really locate the ball. He has great range from sideline to sideline. He has the athletic skill set to be a three-down backer. And we were kind of surprised that he fell to us where we were at. And he says he can help Anthony Barr line up, is what he told us at the combine.
Do you think Kendricks is the type of guy that could maybe end up as the long-term type guy?
We know he's a great football player. There's no question about that. And where he fits in this scheme, I know it's at our coaches feel that he can play Mike or Will. He'll carve his niche out, as all these young guys do, once they get in here and get going, and the coaches will figure out what's the best fit for them. You know, right now we're just trying to collect as many talented football players as we possibly can. You know, we had all A pluses coming out of the school call by our college scouts. We spent time with him and met with him as one of our top 60 interviews at the combine, spending the 15 minutes with him, and there was no off-field issues we had to address, no character issues. After he talked the first 5 minutes about football, there was definitely no intelligence issues. So he was one of those guys that we had a pretty good feel for right off the bat that we didn't think we had to do any more work after that.
Anthony said that you guys didn't talk to him about Kendricks. Was that just because you felt comfortable?
He tweets too much. I mean, you know how I am about Twitter. Well, guys that we like, we can just kind of, all right, we're good. We're not going to mention his name anymore.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, something that we talked about a lot in college, but never real serious because, you know, the chances of, you know, what just happened occurring are very slim. So, you know, we have a great relationship. You know, he was my college roommate for 2 years, and you know, he's a great person, great football player, and I know he's going to do wonders for this team. The guys in the locker room will like him, the fans will love him, and it's going to be he'll be a good addition to the team. I called him like right after I found out, and you know, I couldn't really hear what he was saying. He couldn't really hear what I was saying. You know, it was real loud where he was. He was having a good time with, you know, his family and friends, and it was a cool time. Just a real tough football player. You know, loves the game, has a lot of fun playing it. He's very athletic. You know, I think he's underrated in terms of how good he really is. You know, I think he doesn't get really the credit he deserves. I mean, obviously he won the Buckus Award, and he's been mentioned with some of the top linebackers. But you know, you can see where he ended up in the draft. You know, I think he's, you know, was a first round pick. In my opinion, and now that, you know, he fell to us in the second, you know, I think that's just a real blessing in disguise, and you know, I think he's going to be real happy here.
So there you have it. The first clip you heard was EJ announcing the pick, because each team had an alumni go to the draft and then announce their second round pick.
Yep.
So for the Vikings, they sent EJ Henderson with the Youth Football Initiative. Probably the last quality, with all due respect to the other guys who have come and gone, the last time we really had a solidified long-term middle linebacker, right?
Yes.
Was EJ.
Yeah.
So kind of fitting that he's
and
the
legit
one.
Too.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
He
oh,
was
yeah.
a heck of a player.
Yeah. Now you talked about a guy who's intimidating, can run downhill and can thump against the run.
Yeah.
That's the scouting.
He would have been perfect for
EJ.
Mike Zimmer.
Right.
Perfect.
So interesting that EJ is the one to announce Eric Kendricks, because I think a lot of people are looking to Kendricks to be that guy. And I know you've been out and you've seen some practices here at Winter Park. You're going to see a lot more at training camp, and you'll be doing the preseason games, the sideline reporting. So you'll have a better feel for this later on.
Yep.
But in just listening to some of that sound, you heard Daniel Jeremiah talk about his instincts, thinks he can be a three-down linebacker, thinks he can cover and blitz. You heard Rick Spielman talk about his instincts, his intelligence. So this is a guy you hope projects to be a middle linebacker. But what do you think?
Well, I think middle linebacker might be just sort of a stopping point for him if he ends up there this year. I think his more natural position is going to be where Chad Greenway's at. And I know, you know, terminology-wise, you know, you can call whatever you want. He's basically a strong side linebacker. I mean, some people have him, you know, terminology-wise, he's a Will, sometimes
yeah.
he's a Sam. But that position where Chad is at, I think is his more natural position because he is athletic. To me, a middle linebacker in most systems, yes, you're looking for athletic ability, but you're also looking for somebody that understands the angles very, very well. They can scrape very tight to offensive guards and keep everything tight to the gaps. But most importantly, you have to be a thumper. And that's the when we talk about EJ Henderson. You know, there was a lot of plays where he didn't make as well, and a lot he did make by just blowing a guy up.
Yeah,
and you know, whether he's blowing it up a pulling offensive lineman, or he gets the center comes off on him free and he has a man in his face, He was physical. He would stick his face right under the chin and rock the guy back. That's one part of the game that you don't hear about Eric Kendricks. You hear about athleticism, versatility, great versus the pass. But if you're going to be a middle linebacker and a good middle linebacker, you need to do all those things. Plus, you need to run downhill and not be afraid to hit somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to be anxious to see in training camp is when we get in some of these live periods and, you know, is he going to be that guy that runs downhill? And even if he's not making the tackle, is he going to blow the guy up and push the ball carrier backwards? I mean, that's something that, you know, we talked about Anthony Barr earlier. That's what he does very well, and he doesn't even play the middle.
And here's why that's important, I think, because if you listen to enough talk radio or enough NFL Network, you're going to hear the analysts go on and talk all the time. Ah, middle linebacker, shmeh, shmeh, shmeh. No one's in base defense anymore. They're always in sub packages, right?
Right.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you don't stop the run on first down, I mean, teams are just going to run the ball down your throat, and you are going to be in base defense the whole game. So if you don't have an answer at Mike linebacker, you have a problem, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, I think we're starting as a league, and as far as media, kind of glaze over how important first down is. And, and we think like, well, you know, 70% of the time we're in sub packages anyway, and it's all kind of nickel style defense. Yeah, that might be true based on the offensive personnel. But, you know, Green Bay even does a great job of getting out in four wides and still running the football. And sometimes they can run power football just by motioning a guy back in, or they'll fold a guard around and now you have an extra blocker.
Yep.
So they still like to run the football. And they're so effective on third down because they're sitting at third and two, third and three.
Okay, mid-level guys. We're going to call them mid-level guys. That's not a slight on them. It's just, you know, how much they've played in recent seasons. Audie Cole, Gerald Hodges, and Michael Motti. Okay, they're not returning starters, but they are guys who have obviously demonstrated some ability, which is why Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer are hanging on to them. So let's start with Audie Cole, and then we'll get to Gerald Hodges and Michael Motti after. But Audie Cole, to play more, Audie Cole has to what?
I think to play more, Audie Cole has to... It's a good question because you're not really looking at him for much of the pass situation.
Yeah,
but
you know, when he comes in, he collects tackle. I mean, he's come in as an injury replacement a bunch.
Here's the tough thing about Audie Cole.
Yeah.
Audie Cole doesn't look the part.
Okay.
I think that is Audie Cole's biggest issue right now. He's super productive.
Yes.
I always put Audie Cole in the same visually in the same arena as Brian Urlacher was late in his career.
Mm-hmm.
A very tight looking player. And not to say you can't be effective, because when you watch Audie get in there, I think everybody's like, God, this guy can play.
Why doesn't he play more?
Why doesn't he play?
Exactly.
He makes some plays, you know, dropping in the hook area where you have to, you know, he's not asked to drop into cover two like the old system where he's got to be running 40 yards down the middle of the field. That's not him. You ask Audie to do something, he's going to do it. It might not look great, but he's going to do it, and he's going to be pretty darn effective. I like Audie, and I like what he can do, but he is limited. So it all depends on how much depth they want in that individual player of what he can do.
Yeah. Well, I think then that he's in a good spot with Mike Zimmer, because I think Coach Zimmer, that's probably one of his strengths, is taking a player and not fitting a square peg into a round hole, but putting that player where he can succeed. Gerald Hodges, to me, exactly what you're talking about when you talk about a guy that he's not pigeonholed as one type of player. He's just an athlete. You got to put him out there, and you got to put him in a spot where he can succeed.
Right.
And with Gerald Hodges, I don't know exactly where that is. I mean, the guy's a super good athlete, but he just doesn't play 60 plays a game. So where does he fit?
You know, I'm going to steal an analogy that I heard. Clint Bowen, he's a defensive coordinator, was at one time the interim head coach for Kansas football.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about one of his players and Ben Heaney. When he was describing Ben Heaney, I think this perfectly describes Gerald Hodges.
Okay.
He's like the dog on the porch that every time a car runs by, he chases after it. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes a little unorthodox, a little undisciplined. Maybe it's a little hard for that dog to sit on the porch when you tell him not to. But he wants to get after it. He wants to run after that car. I don't necessarily think it's always a bad thing, but I think what Gerald lacks is sometimes a little bit more composure about not biting on play action. You know, don't always, you know, just because that's where your key feels like it's going to take you, you have to see the bigger picture. Sometimes I don't think he sees the bigger picture. He sees ball and wants to go get ball.
Right.
Where, you know, in college and high school, that'll get you by. You know, that'll get you by just fine. You want a tackling machine, but you also have to have a little bit more to that. And I think that's where he lacks is a little bit of the savvy that they're looking for.
Mike Motti, guy who's come back from knee injury after knee injury, heart and soul, you know, the guy is gutty, great special teams player. He's been really good for Mike Prefer. Can he be really good for George Edwards, our defensive coordinator?
He does fit the actual stereotype of think of what people think of as a Penn State linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is a workout, you know, hound in the weight room. You know, he's going to be strong as an ox. He's going to run downhill. He's going to thump you. You know, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you want. You want me to run through that brick wall? Absolutely. And I'm going to do it. So if we were in the old Jeremiah Trotter type days where Philadelphia just wanted him to run A gap to B gap and, you know, every once in a while run B gap, it's more A gap to A gap, Motti's your guy. Motti's going to go down and he's going to be a force and he's going to be hard to move around. I just think that they're looking for a little bit more athleticism than that. So I think you'll get a fair shake. I just don't think he's going to be on lower on the depth chart right when camp starts.
How about this? How about is this a good scenario for him? He plays with his hair on fire in the preseason and training camp on special teams. And Mike Prefer bangs a table for him and says, when you're getting down to 50, 51, 52, 53, those guys, I want this guy on teams. And then... so he carves out his roster role there, but then you put him in goal line or you put him in short yardage, you know, when you can put an extra linebacker in the game.
I immediately think of a guy that had a very good career here, a couple Pro Bowls, and Heath Farwell.
Yeah.
Tremendous on special teams, gets it on special teams. You know, that's a skill that people don't really think about. Like, you still have to think about how things are being set up. And Heath was great at that. And that's what made him such a good special teams player. He wasn't the fastest guy in the field. He wasn't the strongest guy. But he knew where every return is going based on all the information that he was gathering as he's running full speed down on a 40-yard kickoff. I feel the same way about Motti.
I'm going to round out the rest of the roster at linebacker for you, and then we're going to assess where we're at and what the goals are going into training camp. You have seventh-round pick Edmund Robinson. You have a CFL guy who's come to the NFL and Brian Peters, a free agent signing from the Philadelphia Eagles, and Casey Matthews, Josh Kadu, another guy who's in the mix there, and then Brandon Watts, a draft pick from last season. So those guys are not household names, but you never know with unheralded names. John Randall wasn't drafted, you know. John Sullivan was a late round pick. You know, you get guys who are not household names who become good NFL players. Heath Farwell, you just talked about Heath Farwell.
Yep.
He would fit the bill there. So that's kind of the identity of those guys at the bottom of the roster. You need to bring those guys to training camp. How many linebackers do you bring to camp usually? 10?
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, 11? We usually had about 10 or 11 guys.
Yeah. So you need those guys to round out, you know.
And you pare it down to 5, 6, you know, during the season.
Yep. So the to-do list for Mike Zimmer, for George Edwards, the defensive coordinator, and for Adam Zimmer, when they go to training camp, what's the to-do list down in Mankato? What are they trying to figure out? We've talked a lot about identifying the Mike linebacker and finding out who that is or what combination of players that is. But what else? What else do we have to do at linebacker?
Well, you've mentioned it already several times. It's special teams. You know, you want your linebackers to be on every special teams. And even some of the starters will be on maybe one special team. And you have to be good. You're not just a body out there. You know, so if you can drop, you know, 30, 40 yards backwards, you know, set up, turn around, and block a guy when you're on kickoff return, which is, you know, the hardest thing to do, and I think in all professional football, if you can do that, and also decipher the returns when you run down on kickoff and do all the things on punt and punt return, you have a real good chance of making the team. And that's what you have to do at linebacker, because linebackers are bred to be athletic. And you have to do a lot of things. And even though you've never blocked somebody ever, you know, that's an offensive thing to do, is to block people. You better start picking it up. You better start doing it well and taking pride in it. And I think accepting your role. And that's the other thing, not just linebackers, but all these guys when they get into camp is – you know, what is going to be my role? Even if it's temporary for 1 year, even if it's like, you know, I'm buried on the depth chart when it comes to, you know, actually playing and being a starter, what is my role in accepting it? because I think some of these guys, they get disgruntled because I've been a starter my whole career in college and I'm better than this guy. And if you embrace your role and you do it well, it could just be a temporary deal where you're not starting for 1 year and you get a chance to hone your craft during the course of the week, during the season, and you get better and you start making a name for yourself. You know, I think that's where all those guys that you mentioned that were undrafted and, you know, maybe 6 or 7 round draft picks, they embraced their role and didn't complain about it and tried to turn a negative into a positive.
Yep. Yep. That's good advice. All right. A couple scenarios for you. The Vikings go 10-6 and win the division if the linebackers blank.
Well, if the linebackers, kind of a blanket statement, but they have to make plays. You know, Anthony Barr has to play a full season and get through it healthy and continue to trend in a way that he's making plays, splash plays. Chad's the same way. You know, I think that's the one thing that if you talk about Chad Greenway's career, you know, with all those tackles that he's made, you know, he probably doesn't have the requisite, you know, splash plays and difference making plays for as amount of snaps as he's had. You know, he just has to keep doing more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to be a difference maker in that capacity. And they have to find out who's going to be the middle linebacker. And that guy has to make plays as well. So no mental errors. You can't be the weak link, but they can be successful if those guys in the second level do make difference-making plays.
Okay, so they go 10-6 if we're making splash plays. TFLs, tackles for losses, sacks, pass deflections.
Absolutely.
Forced fumbles, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Well, then I would imagine the inverse will be true. The Vikings go 6-10 and struggle if the linebackers don't do that. That would be your answer, right?
Yeah.
Get
injured. You know, I think staying healthy for this group, because I don't think we have a ton of depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Chad goes down, I could see Kendrick sliding over. But then, you know, can Audie be the guy? You know, if he's not starting the season, can he be the guy?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him do it, you know, in spot moments in the last couple of years. But can he be the guy throughout? Let's say, you know, Chad gets hurt or Anthony gets hurt.
Yeah.
If Anthony gets hurt, and he's the biggest difference maker that you have in the linebackers, then who's gonna take over his spot and make those plays? So really staying healthy for this group is so big.
And you know what else is important for this group is, and I know that you were a player who held yourself accountable and you never blame anything else when something goes wrong, but the linebackers need those D tackles to play well in front of them, don't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we definitely knew, and I definitely knew playing behind Pat Williams how important the Williams wall was.
Yeah.
I mean they're our best friends.
Yeah. You know? That's
and
right.
We let them know.
Yeah.
You know,
pick up their dinner tab every now and then.
Yeah, we love you guys. You guys keep doing your space eating.
Yeah. Well, we love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in to talk linebackers.
Anytime.
We'll have mini camp. We'll take a little break. But when we get into August, it's showtime for you.
It's game time.
Preseason broadcast. Are you excited about that?
Well, heck yeah, I am. Good. I mean, you know, it's been a long layoff for me too, you know, so I'm ready to get back and be around you guys, be around the team and have some fun, man. It's going to be a great year.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the Wobcast. Thank you, Ben, for joining us.
Thanks, man.
We'll be back later in the week. We will be previewing another position on the Vikings roster as we wrap up the offseason program this week and head into the 6-week period between the end of the offseason program and training camp. We'll have lots of content for you, so be sure to stay tuned to Vikings.com all week for comprehensive coverage of Vikings minicamp Tuesday through Thursday of this week and another episode of the Wobcast as we continue to break down the Vikings roster. For Ben Lieber and for producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. That's it for the Wobcast. Talk to you next time.